And that would be done. So you keep praying about that. All right? So that's enough. You're taking enough of your time.
All right, I'd like to look tonight in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And we talked a little bit about Samuel the other night. Pastor did, I think, on Wednesday night, how he was born, answered the prayer. But I want you to think tonight about the call of Samuel. I've always really been fascinated by what the Lord did in chapter 3. Eli the priest had some problems. God had been warning him, and he found a way to solve the problem. But anyhow, let me read from chapter 3, 1 Samuel, a few of these verses. Verse 1, and the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli. And the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. Verse 2, it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place, and his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see, and ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now, get the setting. They're in the place of worship, in the temple. The ark of God is there. You know, they would love to see that in this modern world today. But it's just a wonderful thing to think about. Verse 4, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, here am I. And he ran unto Eli and said, here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, I called not, lie down again. And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And he answered, I called not, my son, lie down again. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. The Lord called Samuel again the third time. He arose and went to Eli and said, here am I, for thou didst call me. And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, go and lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Samuel went and lay down in his place. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. The Lord said unto Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both ears of everyone that heareth it shall tingle. That day I will perform against Eli all the things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. Now, as we've mentioned in chapter 1, Samuel was prayed for by Hannah before his birth. And, you know, God can still do things for us that's impossible for the doctors to do. And they say, oh, if you forget that. No, God's in charge, you see, of our lives. And when we call upon the Lord, he hears us, and he heard Hannah's prayer. And so she says in chapter 1 and verse 11, if you'll give me this child, then I will lend him unto the Lord. I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. And so she gave him back to the Lord. And at the tabernacle as a child, in chapter 2, look in verse number 18. Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Now you see what's taking place. This young child prayed for. God gave them this child. She gave him back to the ministry of the Lord here with the priest in the temple. And she brought him this little coat. Yeah, you know, there's something precious to me about these young children when they're in the house of the Lord, and they're working, doing something to honor God. And don't ever underestimate what God can do with these little children. I've saw personally people who start young, and all the days from their youth, they look to God and they magnify Him in their life. And my, this is what we need to encourage today so much. But the child grew. Here in chapter 3, as I read in verse 1, the Bible said that there was, the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. The word precious means at this time it was rare, and because particularly of the unbelief and the unrighteousness that was taking place, even in Eli's household, you can see in chapter 2, there in verse number 12, the sons of Eli were the sons of Baal. They knew not the Lord. What in the world were they doing? Trying to help out around the temple of God if they worship Baal? Look in verse 17. And the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offerings of the Lord. Say, so, well, that's bad. But the bad thing was, in chapter 3, look in the last part of verse 13, Eli knew what was taking place. His sons made themselves vile, and he restrained them not. Problem. Major problem. We have to stand for God in every detail. I think the hardest thing to do is stand against somebody in your own household that's not living right. Well, you know, God loves you. You know. I don't care who it is. Your house, my house, anybody else's house. When you disobey the word of the Lord and get out with the wrong crowd and do the wrong thing, God's not going to bless you. Eli should have stood up and said, like Joshua was, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. You're not going to go into the temple of God and desecrate this place. Sad verse, isn't it? The last part of verse 13, he restrained them not. Well, he should have. Anyhow, he's getting in trouble with God, what's happening. And he's going to be told what God's going to do by this young, little, tender child. This little linen coat, walking around in the temple of God where the Ark of the Covenant is. The Word of God. You know, they had the Ten Commandments in there. Aaron's rod that budded. And what else was it? I forgot now. Manna that was taken up and put in the Ark. All these things very highly typical of what God was doing with His people. And here Eli allowed some things to happen. Well, the Bible says, I like this verse in Psalms 8 and verse 2, out of the mouth of babes and sucklings hast thou ordained strength. And then 1 Corinthians 1:27, God hath chosen the weak things to confound the mighty. They didn't think, when David walked up to Goliath that was much to worry about. But you see, God was with him. God chooses sometimes the young and the simple and the innocent to confound the mighty like he did with this little child. There's some great lessons. I just want to mention a few things that you can learn from this chapter 3 is the call of Samuel. Well, first of all, the call of God may come early in life. Samuel was a young child when the Lord spoke to him. And, you know, it's amazing that the God of all creation can make His will known even to a little child. Well, that's why He wrote this Bible as it is. It's so simple, a little child can understand it. And so, Proverbs 8:17, they that seek me early shall find me. Isaiah says in chapter 57 and verse 15, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity dwells with the humble in spirit. And so, you know, the way up is down in God's way of looking at things. As a matter of fact, he said, if you hinder a little child that's on this way to me, it'd be better for you to take a millstone and hang about your neck and throw it in the depth of the sea. God's got His eyes on these little precious ones.
Amen.
And He was watching what was taking place. And you'll see how tender and obedient Samuel was at this time. The call of God may come to the inexperienced, and this is what he was. In verse 7, Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. Now, he didn't know all the details. He believed in him, but he didn't have the experience that he would later have, and things had not been revealed unto him as yet because he was a child. Sometimes children ask you questions, you'll say, now, someday we'll explain this to you, but not now. They're not ready for those things. He was still a child. But you know what I like? Look in chapter 1 and verse 28 there, speaking about this young child there in the place of worship. Therefore also she said, his mother, I've lent him unto the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord. And he, speaking of this child, the Bible says, worship the Lord there. You don't have to understand all the Bible to know that God is God and he is real and he ought to be served and worshiped. And so while he was not experienced, he was there in the house of God worshiping the Lord. He wasn't mixed up in some old crazy doctrine, was he? He was worshiping the one who was in control. And this is exactly what needed to take place. Those that honestly seek the Lord will find him and find that he's real in their life. Then look also, the call of God came at the right time. The Bible said, before the lamp of God went out. Now, Leviticus chapter 24 and verse 2, you can read how that God had commanded the light there in the holy place to be lit, and it was a continual burning of this light that was there in the place where God's, tabernacle was. They ministered before the Lord. But it's strange to see how this holy lamp was burning, and it suggested that God spoke to Samuel before the light went out in this sinful time where they were living. And so we think about this. How is our testimony today? Is the light getting dim in our lives, or are we still trying to let the light shine? And that's what Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. People today, sometimes, you know, when we were growing up, we had an old kerosene lamp. And I can remember, I was about 5 when we got electricity down there. Dad would get that old lamp out and clean the globe about once a week, and then the light would come on good and bright. We have to come daily before the throne of grace. Say, God, help me now. Lord, I know I should have done this or I should not have done that. And there's not a one of us here tonight or anywhere that can say, I've lived everything this week or this. No, we need to come daily and get cleaned up. Amen? God cleanse us from some thought or whatever. But the call of God may also come in a natural way. You see, in verse 4 and 5, this young Samuel ran to Eli. The voice that he heard was so human-like that he thought it was Eli. God was speaking to him. And you know, sometimes God calls through those Christians who really do love us. And I've had some great, wonderful people in my background who've loved God. Faithful people that, man, they would look at you and they'd tell you what was right and what was wrong. It's amazing how God starts us off on the right track in so many ways. And so he went to Eli and said, you did call me. Well, the Lord had a purpose in speaking to Samuel as he did. He wanted Eli, the priest, to hear from the mouth of this child what God was about to do. Samuel, listen, think about this. He was instant in his obedience to the call. This reveals what manner of spirit was in him, doesn't it? He didn't have to beat him over the head with something. He just spoke to him. He jumped up and ran to Eli. What do you want? You call me 3 times. And he perceived this was God. And so you see how the Lord was working. Eli knew God was speaking in this holy place. Well, God's call demands an answer. And so in verse 10, he says, you go back, lay down, and say, if God calls again, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You know, it's a sad thing. Most of the time, we want God to hear what we've got to say, what we think, and what we want, what we need. But we need to just let God speak. And He will through His Word, through messages like we've heard this morning. There is a place called hell that people are going to. We don't like it. You know, I came back upstairs and the message was going and I thought, another message on hell. But we need it.
Amen.
I don't like the doctor to have to say, well, you ought to do this and you ought. I went one time and I thought, well, I was doing pretty good. And you know what he said? He said, well, just watch your cholesterol. And I thought, I don't have any cholesterol. Why should I have to watch it, you know? But he was telling me you can run into some problems if you ignore common sense. But anyhow, Eli was told to answer the Lord. So Eli could not give Samuel the answer that God could give him. And, of course, those that's called of God must respond themselves. I cannot respond for Homer or John or anybody. When God calls and He leads you into something, you're the bird, you're the one, and the only one that can say to the Lord, here I am. You can say no, too. And you wish you might have served Him, but anyhow, you can say no. We respond in salvation when we come to Him. We respond in service. Sometimes people get the idea. They think, well, I've done so much, I think I'll just quit for now. A lady told me one time, she was singing with a group in the church, wonderful voice, doing such a great thing. Such a blessing. I mean, when some people get up and sing, and you look back through there and tears running out of their eyes, and they're blessing the hearts of somebody. And she comes, she said, I think I'm just going to quit. I said, well, I think I'll quit preaching. I really did. And she said, no, that's different. I said, is it? I'm supposed to do this. You're supposed to do that. Why should we quit doing anything that God's involved with? I mean, if you have throat surgery, you have a problem, you're sick or whatever, God knows all those things. But just to look at God and say, all right, I've come as far as I'm going to go with you, Lord, I think that's kind of getting in serious condition, don't you? There's times, I know we need help. There's times we have to regroup. There's times we have to do things in a better, more productive way. But I don't believe there'll ever come a time before they put you in that hole in the ground that you can look to God and say, Lord, I think I'm just going to let somebody else. No, I've got something to do. You've got something to do. And so we should, you know, when somebody talks like that, they really ought to go get in the closet and talk to God and say, now, God, you're the one I'm going to tell this to, because He's the one that calls us into this world. And so every person, as you think about it, if they do go astray, they're willing to listen to God. They can come back. In 1 John chapter 5, there it says, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. So we can. Now, what the preacher does, he just helps you hear from God. We preach the Word of God, don't we? I'm not up here telling you something what somebody has said would be nice or this, that. I'm talking about what God did here in this chapter. And we can see this. And this is what the preacher does. When he delivers the message, he's like the mailman, puts it in the box and goes down the road. You open the box and it's in your hand. You've got to pay the bill now. He just brought it to you. God gives us instructions, and so it's up to you whether or not you'll heed the instructions and be blessed. God already knows what we should do, but Romans 6 and verse 13 says that we are to yield ourselves unto God. And so we do that. The call of God may involve a distressing work. Look in verse 15 of chapter 3. When Samuel heard what was taking place, he lay until the morning. I don't think he went back to sleep, Pastor, do you? He lay there, the Bible said in verse 15, until the morning. I hate to need to sleep and get something you can't rest. I know when you eat a sausage or something and you get the big idea, you're going to have a snack before you go to bed, and it's just an hour or two. You're back up taking some kind of antacid or something. But, you know, a lot of times you just can't rest. It's not something you eat. It's something that you're involved in that God's speaking to you about. And you know you're supposed to do this, but you're backing up. And this is a wonderful thing about God leading us. You see, the Holy Spirit that calls us to Him also shows us, after we're saved, the steps to take in our life and what to do. And when God wants you to do something, you know, I think so many times a preacher said, someone come and said, "Oh, Lord, pray for, I've got a burden for this person." And said, "Preacher, will you go speak to him?" And he said, "Well, the Lord put him on your heart. Why don't you go speak to him?" And that's what we ought to do, instead of trying to get somebody else to go do our job, you know. Do what God leads you to do, and then God can bless you in that. Samuel feared in verse 15 to show this. He lay there until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. He didn't want to have to do that. There's been messages I didn't want to have to deliver, but we have to do what God leads us. Eli and his house were to be removed from the priesthood. You know, a lot of times people think we're taking care of this, we're getting by with this, everything's lovely. But God's watching everything. The mill, the wheels of God may grind slow, but God does the work. And later, Samuel, as he was an adult, he has to go to King Saul and deliver the message that he no longer is going to be ruler over Israel because his pride has got him in some problems. Well, anyhow, at least Eli was willing to listen to Samuel. In verse 17, he said, "What is the thing that the Lord hath said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he hath said unto thee." And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good to him." And so, this is what was taking place. The message was distressing, but you know, when a man becomes unfit for whatever reason, whether it's a shepherd lad or a little child that God's fixed his heart and showed him something, well, he must be put up before God, and God's going to do something. We may or we may not agree with God, but His way and His will is always accomplished. You know, I heard a preacher say the other day, the Bible does not say all the things that work together for good are good. But it said all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. You see, you may end up in a car accident like some people have and be brought in to the emergency room, and the doctors say, "Well, it's a good idea we brought you in because we would never have found this problem that could have been fatal for you." I've seen that happen to people before. And you know what they do when they go home, they get the problem fixed, they say, "Well, thank God I ended up in that wreck because it saved my life after all." Not everything that happens is good, but all things work together for good. And so we just have to trust in the Lord. And so this is what was taking place. Look at the last thing. The call of God provides fellowship and victory. Verse 19, Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and he did let none of his words fall to the ground. The Lord was with him. Well, when his word is revealed to us through the Holy Spirit, it is that word that can be fulfilled in us. If there's any secret to the success of a believer, a Christian, well, it's always in just simply doing the will of the Lord. You remember there in John chapter 2 when Jesus came to this marriage at Cana. And when the servants was asking, they said, "Bring these water pots in and fill them up." You know what his mother said to the servants? "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." If there's anything we could get out of this chapter tonight, it ought to be that. When God leads you from His Word, through the Spirit, and you know it's right, let's just do it, and He'll bless us. He fixed this problem that was taking place, desecrating the priesthood through this young lad. And so, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon me and learn of me, and you shall find rest for your soul." It's always good to see those that's obedient to the will of the Lord and following in His footsteps. They may not be liked by the world particularly so much. They may be criticized because they're not just living for earthly gain. But you know, when they get to heaven, everything's going to be different. Those that were last down here is going to be first. And I'm glad that real, you know, real things that matter in our life are these spiritual blessings that God can give. So I'd rather have Him on my side, wouldn't you?
Amen.
Than have all this other stuff that people work their fingers to the bone for. Let's just keep serving. Father, we do thank You tonight for Your Word that guides us. And Lord, directs us in this present day. Help us, Lord, that we might be more faithful, be more obedient, be more loving, be more kind, and do this work that, Lord, in these last days before the light's taken out of this world, we might win some to You. We might encourage somebody that's almost to the point of just turning around. God, help us to do Your will just like this young child did and said, speak, for Thy servant heareth. May we be those servants, Lord, You can use, and we'll thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We have a thing except that I've always noticed that Eli failed with his son because he failed to restrain them.
Right.
And how did Samuel fail? Same way.
Right.
His sons turned out the same way.
Right.
You would have thought that Samuel would have learned the lesson.